pledge. Kathy, would you lead us, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Erin Armstrong.
Here.
Kathy Buckley.
Here.
Leonard King.
Here.
Dan Karofsky. Richard Levine.
Here.
Ed Marin.
Here.
Carol Rae. Pauline Stone.
Here.
Steve Trombley.
Here.
Devin Anderson.
Under C, resolve that superintendent of school recommends to the Board of Education to approve the agenda. I have a couple of changes. Under 5A, new business, we have a couple additions to the CSE and the CPSE recommendation. You have those in front of you. On page 2, number 2, under retirement, the date for Rachel Armstrong is changed. It was off by a day. And on
page 4,
it's 7-1-11. I'm sorry, I guess I'm the only one who's got that.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
I make a motion to include the change.
Hang on, I got one more change.
No, sorry.
Under financials, there's going to be a B. We had to add a fund transfer for the band. So I'll read that when we get to it. Those are the three changes.
Okay, I'll make a motion with the three changes.
Second.
Richard. Moved by Kathy. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we have some time for public comment. Anybody would like to address the board at this time? Yes? Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Should I stand here?
Sure, that's fine.
I'm Simone Lutz, and I'm one of your retired teachers. And I wanted to take a moment now because I'm helping backstage with play, so I have to get back there. But I really want to publicly acknowledge the past and present members of the Board of Education, administrators serving now and previously, as well as members of the school community, the staff, students, and families. Dr. Saunders and Mr. Blackfield took a chance and hired a girl from Long Island to teach sixth grade English back in 1975. And I was afraid to hire that first application because I said, will you stay long enough to get tenure? My husband was in his second year of grad school and I said, we'll stay up there one winter and we're gone. So we're married for 35 years. You gave me a job, but more than that, you and they have given me a marriage. You know him, he's a financial planner, so we can't get married unless one of us gets a job. So you and Tom gave me a job. You didn't know that. You gave me a family, you gave me a career, a community to call home. And you gave me a truly exceptional opportunity to grow and thrive as an educator. You trusted me to the program and provided support. I didn't make the decision to retire easily. My mother was 87, still working and appalled. But I needed to do it. I love what I do, and I've tried to do the best that I can for this district. I have seen many changes over the years, and there have been difficult times and tough choices. But I can say without reservation that Beatontown can hold its own against any district in the North Country. It's an excellent district. I'm very proud to be a Beatontown teacher, and I want to thank you very much from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else like to address the board? Yes, sir.
Is there public input towards the end of the meeting as well?
There's a public comment at the end of the meeting also, yes. Okay. Reports. Mr. Ramo?
A few items for reports tonight, but I'd like to open with a couple of comments relative to the audit report that obviously was reported and has been reported previously to the newspaper article as well. A couple of things that I think bear commenting on. One of them is that with any budget, and ours is in excess of this past year in excess of $37 million, there's a degree of latitude for which we don't have a great deal of prediction. And what I'm going to describe are not issues of apologetic responses to the imbalance, if you will, but as a way of explaining to people how those things can happen. When a budget is proposed by the state the governor, quite frankly, and then eventually voted on by the state legislature, school districts are given the budget as the governor is proposing it to be, and then a lot of back and forth occurs. In the course of that back and forth, school districts are required to submit a budget to its voters, which simply means that one of the major funding sources for a school district, which is state aid, is often left up in the air. We really don't know with a great deal of precision what the actual budget will be. In years where the budget, in fact, is the state aid is right on the money, that would be the amount of money that a district has already planned for to receive from the state. Unfortunately, in years where there's uncertainty about what the level of state aid will be, the school district is at best putting together its best estimates from history, from past practices, from expected changes of state education law, from mandates, etc., to anticipate what their aid will be. When the state changes the governor's budget proposal to the betterment, if you will, of education, that amount of money usually is not known to a district until after the voters have already voted on a budget, which simply means that a budget that's been approved by the voters for the expenses that have been explained can't be used because the governor's the excess can't be used because the governor has given the district more money. There are options available to boards of education what to do whenever it is eventually learned that there's an opportunity for the taxes that need to be raised to fund a budget are changed because of a change in the governor's budget. So there's that piece of it. The other piece of it is revenues. And I've said, and it's on my webpage, and has been for a couple of years now, our district and our community is in an unusual position, in a very positive, unusual position, in that our community continues to attract businesses and industry that unfortunately a number of our neighboring school districts aren't doing at the same clip. When we have opportunities like the Champlain Theater join our school district, that becomes revenue available to the district to operate its budget that may or may not be known at the time the budget was passed. That's an example of an unanticipated revenue that comes in after the voters have voted on a budget. There are many others. We don't know. Give you a forecast, for example, the board doesn't know any more than I know what financial impact the Laurentian project will have on Beekmantown. What we can anticipate is that even though its location of where they're going to build and the volume that they're going to build to and the number of employees, you've heard the numbers between 200 and 800 over 5 years. Those are all estimates. The point being that if our community becomes, as we hope it will, becomes a place where those new employees to the district want to live, they're going to want housing to live in to do it. Some of those choices are going to involve building. Some of those choices are going to involve buying properties that currently are not at market value. All of those features, plus the fact that you've got the social network issues, such as any additional grocery stores, another hotel, all of those variables can come into play when a major industry chooses to locate in our particular area. We're very fortunate as a district that over the past several years, several of those opportunities and events have occurred. Often they occur after a budget is proposed and often after a budget's been adopted. So you have the unanticipated revenue, if you will, which should be a positive story for any district, sits on one side of the ledger. The overestimation of expenses, such as the amount of state aid, if you will, being less than what we expected to pay, being better bargaining of the contracts and negotiations, All of those other otherwise would be positive ventures create an overestimation at the time the voters vote on expenses. Underestimated revenues, overestimated expenses over a period of years with multiple moving parts creates the kind of percentages that we read about in the paper. Most important, I think, and I know I think I feel very confident saying that, speaking for the board, is number one, that we're all extremely sensitive to the implications that that has for year-to-year budgeting at the household level, as well as managing our massive budget of $38 million as best we can. And we want to continue to get better at it. We continually talk about it just about every day, trying to figure out a way to get closer and more accurate on expenses and closer and more accurate on unanticipated revenues. There was always going to be a shadow of margin. I can't tell you how much from year to year, but I can tell you that as long as there is good fortune of industry and supports and families that may choose to live in our community, we can't predict, nor would you want us, I think, predict ahead of time, count on this amount of revenue when you bring your budget to the voters. If the revenue comes in short and the expenses come in high, we have a serious problem. One of the advantages of a fund balance, an undesignated fund balance, in times like the economy that we're in, is that the board has options of what to do to offset what otherwise could be major spikes in increases in taxes when it doesn't need to do so. It can do that by looking at the fund balance amount, making conscientious decisions about how much to apply to a given budget year, and deflect, if you will, or certainly minimize the otherwise cost for operating a school district. One needs only look at the governor's proposed budget for this year. As an example, Beekmantown Central School District, if the governor's proposed budget is exactly the budget that we get, meaning the aid portion of it is what we get, the Beekmantown School District would be looking at a conservative estimate of a loss of $2.3 million in state aid. If you take $2.3 million in state aid that you counted on, and then you develop the budget, and it was gone, it would have a significant impact either on taxes going up or services being reduced. We look at each budget year with that same kind of lens. How can we get better able at predicting the state's portion of its share, get better at predicting our known costs, get better at anticipating unknown costs, which is hard to do, even at a family level. I think most people would understand that, and still present a budget to the voters that is representative of our needs. We are extremely satisfied and pleased and proud, as some comments were already made, of our district and our community for its support of our budget over the past several years and longer. I think it's because there's a recognition of the programs and services for the dollars that have been invested. But let's face it, the economy changed over the last 2 years. This board and the superintendent is very committed to say, what can we now do with the situation that we find ourselves in? We are in a position to be able to have a positive response. And that's not the same position that, unfortunately, some of your neighbors and friends and other school district communities are going to be in. So I guess those were my comments. I just wanted to shed some background information and a little bit of light on how the scenario could become what it is and yet still have there in that story be positive efforts and positive intentions to, in fact, be representative of the taxpayers' interests. We'll develop this budget. It hasn't been done yet. We're still in the process of looking at every one of those line items, trying to figure out how we can better predict and or save expenses. When we know we can, we want to do it. And it won't be necessarily comfortable in all quarters, but what budget is comfortable for people who are going to lose a request for X amount of dollars to fund the program? We'll do that very conscientiously. But I will tell you that the amount of money in the governor's proposed budget, if it does not in fact become the reality by the time our board and as a community you vote on the budget, there could very well be, from the governor's own proposed budget, enough changes to it that there will be a surplus. We will have an unanticipated fund amount coming into the district if this amount of cut does not in fact survive today. This loss of state aid in fact isn't changed. Probably enough on that. I truly don't want my comments to be interpreted as some kind of defensive posture for the position we're in, because it clearly is not. The audit report is not incorrect in its assessment of the figures, and it's not incorrect over where the figures became accumulated over a period of time. But we will be work as a plan. We will, as we always try to, work as a district to develop a plan to, in fact, respond to the report as it was published, and do so in a way that's consistent with voter acceptance of our school district, and ideally do it in a way that does not cause us to reflect differently on the programs we provide. And those are my initial comments, and thank you for your chance to say those things. A couple more items. I still have the floor, I believe, for superintendent report. Totally different items. In your board packet, you have already received a very nice letter that was drafted from an individual who graduated from Bickentown High School in 2008, and from Matt Chartier, I believe, and was accepted at Harvard University. But the point of his letter was he was commenting on the value of the Model UN program that was made available to him when he was a part of the high school, and was commenting upon reflection the value and gain that he felt he experienced because there was such a thing called a Model UN, and it was in part urgent support for it in the future. So that's always nice to get comments like that, and I wanted to mention it. Also in the board packet for discussion, I'm sure at some future point, is a request from the Lady Eagles Hockey Program asking for consideration of a program addition to our extracurricular activities in the form of girls hockey, and wishing to talk with the district and the board about the possibility of considering that for this coming budget year and or future budget years. And I think, Steve, you're going to make some reference at the end of our discussion period. We have a plan of how we might be able to respond to that. So those are my comments in closing. Thank you. Oh, one more, if I could. I was promised Pauline I'd save time, and I put it last and forgot you, Pauline. We had an opportunity, and two of our board members had an opportunity to participate in a training session held with a speaker in our district on our Positive Behavior Intervention Program, or PBIS, as we refer to it as our Eagle Pride effort, but it's commercially advertised as Positive Behavioral Intervention Supports. And Mrs. Stone, at least Mrs. Stone, may have some comments about that experience.
There were questions on why we picked PBIS. We picked it as we found it better over the other services, because the other services give an overview on behavior, where PBIS goes into the behaviors and tells you how to work them out, there's over, let's see, thousands of schools nationwide has PBIS, and New York State has hundreds of schools already implementing PBIS. And I attended a few weeks ago a Coalition for Safe Schools. The number one component under Safe School Environments and Violence Prevention Activities was PBIS. And this is a proven in other schools around the state. Now, a lot of people were concerned that it was a service for special needs kids. It's not. It's any child or any student that gets a referral goes into the PBIS, goes into the system. It's not just for, it's for any child that gets a referral. Now, where I worked, I retired from the city school district, and where I worked before, it was my job to put the referrals into the system, okay? It took maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes a day to do that. If I missed a day or two, it would take 15 to 20 minutes to do it. So it's not a really time-consuming thing. The great thing about it is the data you can pull up out of the system, okay? The committee would meet once a month. The PBIS committee in the city would meet once a month. I could pull up data for that meeting. For example, what month in the year the was worse, okay, with most referrals. For example, in our school, we were a really low-income school. December was really a bad month because the poor, it was an elementary school, and the poor little guys, they didn't want to go home for Christmas. School was their safe place, okay? So they didn't know how to act. They knew they'd be home for 2 or 3 weeks during the Christmas break. They didn't like that idea, so that they would have problems at school. They would work, you know, work it out in school. And but then another school in the district that was in a different area of the city, December was great. The kids looked forward to vacations. They would go home. They'd go do stuff with their families. They would do, you know, where these other children in our school didn't have that type of family situation. So the psychologists, the child advocates would put a lot of their preventative services into December. See, where this showed December was a bad time. It also, if they were meeting with a certain parent on a child, that would the behaviors of a child, they would meet with the psychologists, the advocates. I could pull up a screen, give them the report, what time of day this child has problems, which class they're in, which whether it was at lunch, whether it was a certain time of day, all that could be brought in, and then the advocates could work with the family to see preventative services for that time for that child. It's just unbelievable what you can do with this program. And just recently, as for an example, I did a long-term subbing at Placerville High School. They're having problems with students coming late to class. So the principal would get on during the change of principal would get on the announcements and say, you have 1 minute to get to your class. And then the 1 minute would go by, and he would say, all right, the teachers, anybody late to the class, send them to the office for a referral. They'd send it, well, to begin with, the line was out the door, okay? But they learned by after a day or two, it got lower and lower and lower. Yeah, it's just that way of using the PBIS services, you know. Now, I've attended several workshops where the district, we're going to implement PBIS, and there are representatives from each school in our district. And they've been working hard to set up the different components in their schools. And, of course, there's different problems for elementary schools, and there's for middle school and for high school. But they're implementing, they're planning exactly what they want to do in their individual schools. So on the 17th of February, the superintendent and board members have been invited to CVES at 11:30 for lunch, and to then they'd like to show us their outlines that they've come up with for their schools. So if you can attend, you'll be extremely impressed with the work that they put in.
When is it?
It's February 17th at 11:30 at CVES.
Kathy was also present. I didn't mean to slight her presence. She was certainly present at the same
time. Well, I don't have as much to say as Pauline did. But what I did really enjoy about, for one, I felt like Joe Otter was a really good presenter. He was very, very positive. I'm sitting in the audience, and I actually felt like he was initiating the program just in his presentation. Mm-hmm. I liked how he somehow magically brought questions from postcards to hand-raising questions where people were felt there. It was, he created an encouraging environment where people were not afraid to use their own initiative to say their questions out loud. So I really enjoyed that, and I think it's exceptional that it's a research-based program, so you know that you're investing in something that's actually a proven process. I really like that about the program, and I'm also looking forward to the climate change all around, for general ed students, special ed students, for the environment, for the teachers, for the overall learning. I really feel like PBIS is going to, when implemented, will increase learning and behavior modification for all students, not just troubled students. So I think I'm really excited about it. I really enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to the 17th.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Sorry.
One item that I wanted to report on is that the STAR reimbursement payment from the state did come in the month of January. We had budgeted about just over, a tad over $2 million. It came in at $1,099,000 something, just a 1% short, which was the FMAP mid-year state aid cut from last fall that was announced by the governor's office. So STAR reimbursement revenue money is in the month of January. We continue to work on budget forecasts and estimates. I just met, I can't remember what day, Friday, probably, with our insurance people to get forecasts for our premiums for the next year to be able to plug some of those numbers in. We have an upcoming meeting this Friday at BOCES to get some of their rate projections. BOCES is a kind of a big expense item for us in our budget, so they're going to give us some insight as to where they think the rates are going to come in at so that we can plug those numbers in as well. Those are the two main items that I have.
Okay. Thank you. Devin is playing basketball as we speak. Under minutes. Resolved that the Board of Education does hereby approve the minutes of the meeting of the Board of Education held on January 25th.
Motion.
By Leonard.
Second.
By Pauline. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? B. Resolved that the Board of Education does hereby accept the minutes of the committee meetings held on 1/25. That was the Operations Committee.
Second.
By Richard. Okay, Carol. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolved that Superintendent of Schools recommends to the Board of Education the approval of the CSE recommendations dated 2/8/11.
Motion.
By Leonard.
Second.
By Pauline. Does anybody need a minute to read the additions, or is everybody all set at least? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolved that Superintendent of Schools recommends to the Board of Education the approval of the CPSE recommendations dated 2/8/11.
Motion.
Richard?
Carol.
Carol? Everybody all set with these additions too? You have two, three other additions. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Appointments. Resolved that Superintendent of Schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve the following temporary on-call appointments beginning on the date indicated.
Motion.
By Pauline.
Second.
By Kathy. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolved that Superintendent of Schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve the following substitute appointments beginning on the dates indicated.
Move the list.
By Richard. Leonard?
Yep.
Second by Leonard. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolved that Superintendent of Schools recommends to the Board of Education to appoint the following civil service probationary appointment as indicated. By Richard.
Carol.
Second by Carol. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolved that the Superintendent of Schools recommends to the Board of Education to appoint the following individuals as temporary on-call recreation assistants. Those are the scoreboard operators and the clock operators for the 2010-11 school year at $15 per game.
Move the list.
Second.
And by Leonard. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
This is basically just a name change. What they call them?
No, actually, we've never approved these before. Okay. They've always done it. We've just.
But they also come with the required change in title. It's kind of two things happening together.
It's a civil service thing, right?
Yeah. Correct.
Resolved that the superintendent recommends to the Board of Education to accept the following intent to retire on the dates indicated.
Move the
change.
Second.
By Leonard. I'm sorry, second by Richard. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolve that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to amend the resolution adopted on 1/25/11 regarding the submitting of the letter of intent to Leonard Bus Sales Incorporated for the purchase of 4 65-passenger school buses at a cost not to exceed $431,755.87. This amount does not include the trade-in of 4 buses. The correct amount should not exceed $439,011.66, which includes warranty but does not include the trade-in.
Motion
by Richard.
Second.
Second by Carol. This was just a mistake on the amount, that's all. It wasn't changed from last year. Mm-hmm. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolve that the Board of Education does hereby approve the following policies.
Move the list.
By Richard.
Second.
By Leonard. Any question on any of these? Some of these are from right from school boards, things that are going to be changed by law. And Richard, there's also some changes on the...
Ed.
Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Ed?
Yeah, I've got a few questions on some of these.
Okay, go ahead.
On the personal opportunity non-discrimination, on item one, there's nothing to address ethnicity, and I don't know if that has to.
Underneath one, you said?
Yeah.
Ethnicity. He wants to know whether or not it needs to be included.
Oh, okay.
We can just put down as a question and have it checked.
Yeah.
Ethnicity is very different than any of those that are there.
Okay.
I only mention it because it's even separated in government and military applications.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to skip the second one, look good. On the flag one.
Okay.
Third one.
Third one I had a question about. Flags, the third paragraph then, it talks about September 11th. I don't know if Memorial Day should be a part of that or surrounding Memorial Day. What the policy is that. The other question was, 30 days, is that a standard state policy?
Yes. Oh, the last paragraph?
Well, no,
Flags for 30 days.
I don't know how that date, that number of days comes up.
I think the 30, if I'm correct on this, Mr. Mayor, the 30 days comes from earlier adoptions through commissioner's regulations and or state education, and that this particular regulation proposed, which obviously does, in some cases you don't have to, a board doesn't have to do the regulations or make the changes, but these are the most current recommended changes from school boards association.
Great. And that one bolded section says well known at the school. I was concerned that it might be somewhat subjective. That would cause some problems.
Yeah.
How do you identify or qualify well known in the school?
Joe could probably answer that.
That's really tough to answer, but it's something that we should probably anticipate some issues further down the line.
Yeah. Right.
On the page, on that same one, the back page, lowering the flag, at least for military stuff, you always have lights at night on the flag. I don't know if that has to be addressed here or not.
No, the flag has lights at night. Yeah.
Oh, you're meaning including some reference to the lights?
If we choose, I don't know if we choose to have this at dusk or if it doesn't get brought down at nighttime for whatever reason,
yeah.
Does that ever happen?
What are you saying? I was in the military. If you don't fly at night, it's not a problem. But if you're going to fly it at, into the dark, you're supposed to be
right. You have lights on it, yeah. Yeah. I've got the fire station where I've got lights on ours all the time.
Right. So from a policy point of view, when I bring it back to the board, it would be the board's, I guess, choice to tell me how to...
Well, I guess you could answer it as saying, if you're going to fly it at night, it has to be lit up, whether you fly it or not. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter whether you fly it, but if you're going to fly it at night...
If you're going to fly it at night, it should be lit up.
Yeah. So, takes care of the problem.
That's, yeah, that's a...
Next.
Okay, we...
Yeah, we'll bring back the other device. You bet.
Any other ones to add on that?
Yeah, equal opportunity one. I did have a question on does any stage one compliance within 30 days, does that match our legal statute of limitations that are associated with any kind of legal reference?
Tough to answer directly. If this was the genesis of the policy itself, may speak to that better. If,
okay.
In other words, if in fact the school board school boards association ever recommended to the board that this be the policy, then or the regulations, then that answer has been it's answered. But if this is a regulation that they don't speak to and it does have some variability at the district level, that would be an important question I can find for you, get resolved for you.
Then on stage two, number one, where you talk about the superintendent may request that the complainant a written statement, would it not be in the best interest to not just may request, or actually definitely request for one and send copies to the board? At least the board is informed. The last thing we want is for something to fall through the cracks and the board to be surprised about something they're not aware of, even if it's minimal.
Mr. Marin, I can include that as... changes, and when it's brought actually when the whole policy is brought to the board can then weigh in on that as whether it supports all of the changes and recommendations or if it wants to continue to discuss any of them. But I'll make a note to include it so it appears that way when you next see it.
Yeah, and stage three in the back, but it doesn't really allude to it, but there could be a loophole that says that the board this could be addressed by the president of the board. And the whole board may not even have visibility to it.
Okay. Yeah, but the wording would address that. If you,
it would.
Yeah, you put the wording in, it would take care of that.
Yeah, if the response at stage two is in writing to the superintendent, it gets CC'd to the board, and then your other concern is that it would be resolved.
Exactly.
Okay, right. Good.
Next.
Okay, this one's the first reading. Revised ones. We're gonna pull these out. Or
The ones that there are no questions on, we can vote on.
Well, there's. I'll just pull the revisions out.
What would be the protocol for
just
the revised?
Revisions out.
The first one is the first reading, so it will come back with revisions. That'll be the second reading with the revisions that we will make. The other ones are existing policies that are being revised by school boards.
Right.
If you agree to those revisions. The stuff that's in bold is what school boards recommend. The stuff that's not bold is whether you're existing policy.
I have a question. We have the two lists. One are revised. So these are sent to us by the school board saying you should change these. The second one, are these just the ones that we periodically review? The first reading, is that what it is? These are already policies and we're just reviewing them?
Yeah, those are new policies from school boards.
Brand new ones. All right.
You have to do three readings.
Which requires the multiple readings because it is a new policy.
I'm going to pull these up. Okay, the revisions we will pull off, and then we will bring them back again next month with the recommended changes. And the last three are first reading, so we will just make the changes and bring them back next month for the second reading.
One more quick question, if I could.
Yep.
Scott, you're saying that, you know, we vote on them or not, but when they revise something and they send it to us, aren't they strongly recommending it the way it's written? And then you, I mean, that's what they want, and then you can add to it if you go
through. Right, with new policies, they're saying, here's a policy, and we want all school boards to be advised that we think you should do it. On revised policies, it could be their recommendation to honor the revision, but it's not as binding as a new policy would be. In other words, you have a chance to have latitude. Do you want it or don't you want it? And when we revise our own policies, it's either a recommendation that's come from the board to change its own regs, or rules rather, or it's from the school district saying, because, can we alter this line or this paragraph? And that's entirely the board's choice at that point.
Richard, will you amend your motion to...
I will amend my motions to include all changes.
Wayne, did you get that? We're just going to take the revisions out, and the first readings are going to stay. We'll bring the revisions back.
But only the two policies, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Anybody have any other questions on those? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? 8A. Resolved that the Board of Education accept the following reports as presented by the Audit Committee.
Move list.
By Richard.
Second up.
Moved by Leonard. Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Under B, resolved that the Superintendent of Schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve the following transfers over $5,000. You guys don't have these yet, right?
No.
There was insufficient amounts were budgeted for the band principal payment for the 10-11 year. There's two of these, correct?
Yeah. Mary, you want to provide some?
We have one band that's maturing this Friday, February 11th. Actually, of all the band payments we have, most of them come due or mature in July and August. This is the final one of the year. An amount it was just under budgeted for. The wrong column was looked at when the budget was done last year for this. So when it comes to do the payment, I needed the additional, I can't remember off the top of my head, 14 something thousand. So there's an extra amount available in interest, in the interest line item. So we're using up that for the principal portion we need, and then the difference coming from the unclassified account.
Motion.
Okay. Everybody, okay, I got a motion by Richard.
Second.
Everybody's happy. Everybody understand that? Anybody have any questions in that?
You know that money. Pay it.
As a side note, the renewal on this, the bank that won the renewal is at 1.74% our interest rate going forward for the next year. And those change every year, so those rates are renewing as they mature.
Okay. Have a roll call, please.
Karen Armstrong?
Yes.
Kathy Buckley?
Yes.
Leonard King?
Yes.
Dan Karofsky? Richard Levine?
Yes.
Ed Marin?
Yes.
Carol Race?
Yes.
Colleen Stone?
Yes.
Steve Trombley?
Yes. Okay, under additional items to discuss, the first one with the board's permission on the letter from the hockey team, the Lady Eagles hockey team, your permission, I would like to have Mr. Amo, Mr. Cook, and myself set up a meeting with Ray Guy, who is the coach of the team, the president of the league right now, and see what it is that they're looking for, and we'll bring a report back to the board.
Okay
with everybody? You do that. Okay. I'll get you my Skype.
Just get your work off there.
We'll go from there.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, the next one is the property tax exemption for real property owned by volunteer firefighters and volunteer ambulance workers. I did some checking with the other fire chiefs around and just trying to get some ballpark numbers of firefighters. You're looking for the four districts that are within the Beatontown school districts. We're probably looking at anywhere from 90 to 110 firefighters that could possibly, that do own property within the district. So if we're going to do something with this, I think we have to do it by, what you say, Mary, the beginning of March, right? Somewhere
past before March 1st.
Okay. So whatever discussion you have, I don't have the names so that we can get, I guess we can ballpark it. It's not turning out to be a lot. The number's not as high as I anticipated it to be, but since I am a firefighter and a thing, I will lead the thing, but I'm not discussing anything. So
how much of an exemption are we looking at per person?
It's 10%.
I think the letter said 10% coming from the county, that this was a county legislative opportunity that was not mandated. It's an option at the local level for each school district to opt in or not opt in.
And my second question would be, we authorize this, we're probably not looking at 90 to 110, a lot more people probably sign up.
It takes 5 years minimum for them to get
started. Oh, it's 5 years?
There's some.
So we're not going to 90, 100 to 200 in a year?
No. Okay. You have to be in the fire department for 5 years. You have to be in good standing. It would be up to each individual fire chief to provide the school district with the information. If they don't, it's just not going to happen for them. So it's whoever wants to participate with this.
Steve, could I ask a question?
Yes.
Did we have any projections done as to how much money we're really talking about?
For example,
just as a rough estimate, if we had, if everyone's home was worth $100,000, I believe that would be a $10,000 exemption.
Right.
And if we had 90 people involved, that's $90,000. And then our tax rate, I'm trying to bring back, or maybe Mary will help me, is it 1566 or something like that?
Yes.
She's got what's the bottom line, the total amount of money?
It's hard to figure because it's you almost have to get down the real property and go by name, I would assume, right? And find out what
the assessed valuation. Of their current assessment value.
It would be primary home.
Yes. And I would think that this would also be vetted through the county real property office with the assessors, similar to a STAR exemption.
Right.
For a primary residence, it would be a similar, not a STAR exemption, but a similar exemption that would flow through that way rather than the school district giving anybody a credit.
Mary, could you double check my figures? I'm coming out with this rough estimate of around $1,400. Does that seem right to you? If you take 1566 times 90?
Yes, Darren. Our treasurer is in the audience and he's reconfirmed that.
We have multiple people with calculators working behind the scenes, Karen.
Yeah, they all said that's correct, Darren.
So we're not talking a lot of money. It's a lot of money, but not. I thought it was going to be a lot more than that, to be honest. That's why I tried to do some rough numbers.
Correct, and like Richard said, over a five-year period, that could increase some. I wouldn't anticipate it's going to increase a lot. But.
Well, that's the whole reason behind it, Steve, is to keep our volunteers that we have, because if we have to go to a paid department like the city of Plattsburgh, I mean, we're depending on these volunteers, and we're not getting the volunteers. I don't know how you are in your department, but I know ourselves there, the emergency services volunteers are dropping down. and they need to do something, otherwise it's going to cost us a lot more than the amount that they're asking.
Can I make a suggestion?
For my own personal opinion, if I can, Steve?
Yes, go ahead, Karen.
I feel that the volunteers are very valuable, and an accident that I witnessed and was one of the first to arrive on the scene, when I was very relieved to see the Beatman Town Fire Department arrive, and for this amount of money, I would support the exemption being provided to these individuals. When we divide this by our total assessed value of our school district, I don't even think it'll be pennies on the tax rate for our district. That's just my opinion.
Okay. Just a suggestion. I think it's good bang for your buck, because if it's either this or end up going to a paid, I mean, we're talking a lot of difference for very little bit of money. Is this something you'd like to, I mean, we're discussing it now, but after we're done discussing, do you want to vote on it tonight?
I
know I'm going to vote, so I mean, if no one else has a problem with it.
I think you'd almost have to vote tonight because you only have one meeting.
Because
yeah,
of my swipe on the phone.
So I make a motion that we you want
to
Ed, word
have you
it.
Got anything to say?
Well, we don't have time, do we? We've got eight people.
Only the ones on the track can't vote, can they?
Yes, they can.
They can,
yes. Yeah, because they're both back.
Good. That's good.
You have to make a resolution.
I make a resolution that we provide the property tax exemption for real property owned by volunteer firefighters and volunteer ambulance workers, subject to the requirements that they set forth 5 years, doesn't it? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Motion by Richard. I have a second.
Second by Karen.
Roll call on this.
Joe, we need a roll call on this.
Yes,
so
that was
money.
Thank you.
You have that.
Karen Armstrong?
Yes.
Kathy Buckley?
Yes.
Leonard King?
Yes.
Dan Kurowski? Richard Levine?
Yes.
Ed Marin?
Yes.
Carol Reyes?
Yes.
Colleen Stone?
Yes.
Steve Tremblay?
I will abstain.
And I'm going to put because you're violent.
Because I'm quite afraid.
Well, I don't know, but maybe I should abstain.
I don't think it really matters until I have it. Is there any other additional items to discuss? Anybody have anything to bring up? We have time for public comment again, if anybody would like to address the board. Yes, sir.
About the $6 million. It seems as though this school district...
Could you give us your name, sir? I'm
David
sorry.
Hinsman. H-I-N-S-M-A-N. It seems as though this school district has distinguished itself, nonetheless, in acquiring some degree of notoriety of running up a $6 million surplus. I don't think it happens very often, and that's the impression I get from the media. Maybe that's incorrect. Is that unusual, or is it very commonplace?
For this district, or in general?
Pardon?
In general, meaning districts in the state?
Yes.
Or
yeah.
Is it uncommon? No.
It is not.
Each district should speak to its, obviously, its own history, but no, it's not uncommon.
But it's happened here 6 years in a row, apparently, 5 years in a row, that we've had a significant...
The audit report covered that five-year period, so
right.
That is correct. That is correct.
And the other question I had, did this school district ever build a climbing wall?
We're allowed right now to make public comment. I will discuss that with you right after the meeting if you'd like to, or Mr. Amel can can discuss that. We're just not supposed to answer right now. It's for public comment time. Yes, sir?
Is the gentleman done?
Are you all?
Yes. Stephen Flam, I've got two series of questions. The first one is regard to the buses. Are these buses the proposition we voted on for last May, the buying of these buses? Is that last May's proposition that was put forth to vote on?
The last ones.
Are they the ones that are coming forth on this May? The ones that are coming forth on this May. Is the reason we're buying four of this segment because of the fact that we went to 42 buses instead of 40 when we bought four that one year that puts over the 10-year replacement period? We used to have 40 buses, right? Had to be replaced every 10 years, so we bought two every year. Which just doesn't make much sense, but. And then we bought two extra ones one year, probably about 10 years ago. We bought two extra buses. They wanted one for reserve and one for rec teams, I believe. I don't remember what the reason was. But is that the reason we're buying four this year? Don't we usually buy two every year?
I can do it later. I mean, I can. As soon as we're done, I'll be. I'm taking down your questions so I can respond to you. Other questions? You mentioned there were 2 points.
Just answer.
Pardon me.
Did you have another issue or another question?
The second part is all in regard to your budget.
Okay.
And where is Leonard Bus Sales Incorporated? Where are they at?
Central New York, I want to say. Pardon? Off the top of my head, I want to say Central New York, the Utica area.
Never heard of it.
They're a state contract member.
Are these buses under the same state reimbursement program that they all have been previously?
Yes. Deposit New York is where it's listed. I mean, that's their mailing address, Deposit New York.
That's the sales.
I believe it's the same thing. The company, how do I speak for that? The company's...
Is that where they make them, or is that where they sell them?
It's on New York. And it's on state contract. On state contract.
Is that what we usually do, four buses a year, every year?
We've been doing four buses a year. As long as I can remember, yeah.
So when we bought those extra ones, when do those come due again? That's going to throw us like two over. There's going to be a year there that you've got to purchase more than before.
What he's saying is we have the rotation of four times 10 years 40.
Cycle?
If you have more than 40 buses.
Yeah. Well, when those come due, we will discuss it at that time. I don't know when those... Extra two buses.
Our normal is four
buses every year. We
that was all the questions I had on that. The rest are all on the audit.
Okay. And the superintendent will discuss that with anybody who wants to. Any other public comment?
I just want to say that they're not trying not to answer your questions, but the public comment, you can ask questions, but it's not supposed to be back and forth. And they'd be happy to answer all those questions later to your satisfaction. It's just, it isn't you ask a question, we answer. That's not the way it is. You can make any statement you like, and then they'll get to you after the meeting, because it isn't supposed to be back and forth. That's not the way it's set up. So, I mean, they will answer it, but you can just read all your questions. They'll mark them down, and they'll get the answers for you. Just to clarify.
Okay. So in regard to your flag, reveille, and retreat.
Did you have any other comments?
Pardon me?
Did you have any other comments?
They were just in regard to the audit.
Okay, they will meet with you right after that. Does anybody else have any other comments?
Ask him the questions after is what he's telling you, and he'll answer you.
Yeah, we're going to answer. We'll answer you as soon as we adjourn here. Okay. We do have a short executive session. I need a clerk pro tem. Resolved at the Board of Education appoint. Someone has clerk pro tem. need a clerk pro temp. I'll do it.
Okay. We'll nominate you. I just have one question on procedure.
Yep.
If the gentleman has questions, does he not ask them now and then get the answers later?
Yep.
So, but I mean, he hasn't answered them.
He had more questions.
Yeah, he had more. That's my point.
Okay, go ahead and ask more questions. I misunderstood you.
This budget thing has been going on for years and years. I remember at least 8 to 9 years ago, I addressed Dr. Sproul, who was here before, and he had a budget surplus of like $5 million at that time. And this goes from year to year to year. Last year, you had a $7 million budget surplus in the unappropriated fund, and you projected that it would be down to 4 this year. That's 3 that you basically intended to must be refunded to the taxpayers because we got a tax break last year and went down. But still at $4 million, and obviously something didn't work there because now you got $6 million in it, and you had projected 4. So evidently you got more in it than what you thought you were going to have at that point. But if I'm not mistaken, the state specifies a certain percentage of your budget that you can hold on unappropriated reserve fund, unappropriated fund. Is that not correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Like a 2%, which would be?
4%.
Is more than 2%?
4%.
4%?
4%, yes.
Okay, so we're talking what? $1.5 million on a $6 million one? Right in that ballpark.
Similar.
That you can hold on unappropriated fund. So I don't understand why we just go from year to year and we're so far above that it's just mind-boggling that we're quadruple the amount that we're supposed to be holding on reserve, and yet it just keeps growing and growing. And it's all, that fund is all unspecified, correct? You don't have to have a certain thing that you're, that's not specified funds for any particular object or program or anything. It's all unspecified. So basically it's a sludge fund that you can work out, that you can use for anything that you so desire. I don't know that I relish that idea too much. What a question I have on something like that, if you've got $1.5 million or if you've got $6 million in unspecified reserve fund, you ain't got that in a box under the counter somewhere. It's drawing interest somewhere in an account. What's happening to that interest on that? Where is that going to? Is that being returned to taxpayers too? Or is that like just swept under the rug in extra funds? Another thing is I just don't understand why the school board can tax people and hold that kind of money in a fund when you got people out there that are living on Social Security and their fuel oil is costing them $3.30, $3.40 a gallon and they can't even heat their homes, but you got that kind of a unspecified reserve fund just sitting there that you collected from them. And then again, what do you think about the people, what is your opinion on the people that used to live here, you collected the taxes on, in that dollar amount, that don't live here no more. They've moved on. You got their tax dollars. How are you going to get that? I mean, you're not going to refund it to them in tax rates because they're gone. You took their money and they're gone. And the last thing that crossed my mind was if the governor's budget goes through and you take this money, this unspecified fund, and your aim is to keep the tax, I realize what you're trying to do. You're trying to keep your tax rate at an even keel all the way through by using this fund, feed it into the budget so that you don't have to spike and go down and go up with the tax rate. So if the governor's budget goes through and you have to, and you're basically going to have to give someone's money back to the taxpayers, and you drop your tax rate down some, and he puts a 2% property tax hike or cap on, and you can't go any more than that, then you're going to be capped at a lower tax rate than what you would be otherwise. So you might drop, let's say you drop your tax rate to $17 per thousand, and it was 18, or I don't know what it was last year, 18 something?
No.
15. So now you're going to be 2% capped at $17 per thousand. That's all. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, I need a motion and a clerk pro temp.
I make a motion. make a motion to appoint Steve as clerk pro temp.
Second.
Kathy. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Need a motion to go into executive session to discuss particular person's employment history. By Leonard. Seconded by Richard. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? They will take a short break so we can...